He held me on the ramparts when El Ragnar rode to Bevanbur with the head of my brother. When my father named me Uhtred in his stead and told me to die for Bevanbur, Bjarke was at my side. He put me into the water to baptize me. He held me underneath it for so long and nearly drowned while he prayed it to his god. He saved my life as a boy and as a man many times.
He was like a father.
You have no grave, no place blessed by his God.
He is with God now, and with your sister. He is in peace. I'm sure you'd be touched how you mourn for him while we were stuck in the middle of nowhere. But if he were here now, he would tell you this is not the end. We will gather more men. We will return with an army and batter down the gates.
All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to The Last Kingdom on Netflix. So grab an ale, sit back and relax, and let's see how England was born. Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I'm sad. I'm so sad.
So say we all. So say we all.
That is rough.
Rough episode. You know, not even gonna fake it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down. I mean, so I'm still sick all. From the Rona that has decided to cling to me for way too long, but I'm sad. So I'm like double down.
Yeah. Not great. Not really. Just
not great, Bob.
This episode broke my heart. I mean, you know what must have been really tricky is all of our friends who've already watched this season of The Last Kingdom and have had to listen to us for so long now talking about our love for Bjarke.
And they're just like, oh, yeah, just wait.
Just wait.
Just wait to see what you got.
Just wait. Well, we wanted to remind you, of course, to make sure that you're hitting that subscribe button to our podcast as we are going to keep on rolling with you as we run through season 4 to catch up to season 5. Also, make sure that you are following us on social media. The most active places are Facebook and Instagram. Just search Mary and Blake. And if you're not a member yet of our beloved community, it's a Mary and Blake group on Facebook. So if you're a Facebooker, that's where you want to go. We've got all of people there loving all sorts of nerdy things that we cover. And we want to, of course, thank our friends at jointhenerdclan.com. If you are not a member there and yet you listen to these podcasts and we bring you some joy, you can join for as little as $2 a month. And it really goes towards making this mom and pop podcast possible. So thank you so much. All right. On that note, let's get into the show. Right, friends, as I said, I'm still dealing with my sickness that just will not leave. So please forgive me for my lack of enthusiasm, but I'm also going to be real with you. This episode is a sad one. So for those of you who haven't watched this episode recently, it's the one where my beloved Bjarke dies. That's basically what you need to know. Plus, everybody's getting ready to go to war, including Æthelflæd and Uhtred, and Finan saves the day in my heart. But we're all grieving, basically, is what happens.
All right, episode 3, directed by Sarah O'Gorman. This is a person that has actually directed many episodes of television. Some of the stuff, actually, Mary, that you and I know, she has directed the show Jamestown, obviously, as well as The Last Kingdom, the show Cursed, and The Witcher. Also, The Witcher Blood Origin, which is like the prequel, I imagine, to The Witcher. Mary, I know we watched The Witcher, and I just want to get this, you know, right off the bat here. I was not a huge fan of The Witcher. Just, I was not. And I don't remember you being a huge fan of The Witcher.
No. I think, I know a lot of people love The Witcher.
Yeah.
And so, remember, just some people like chocolate, some people like vanilla, some people like coffee-flavored ice creams, okay? So it's okay not to like all the same things, but Blake and I did not love The Witcher, and we gave it a good go. We did watch all of season one, and, you know, for me, as I've talked about a lot actually during The Last Kingdom, I personally need to love somebody to be invested in a show, and it's actually part of the reason why it took me so hard to become invested in The Last Kingdom. I talked at great length about how I didn't love anybody, and I wasn't rooting for anybody, and then I fell in love with Bianca. Great. They're lucky they got Finn in. I got to tell you that. But yeah, you know, I think that there is some crossover with Witcher and Last Kingdom cast, which is pretty neat, whether it's with the prequel or other things like that. I've definitely seen that for some of these smaller actors. Even Finnan, I think, has some stuff that's been happening with The Witcher.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
double dipping.
You know, and it's great. So that's my two cents.
All right. The writer was also Charlotte Wolf. Charlotte Wolf has written she only has 4 credits to her name since 2017, she has written an episode of Medici, and also, of course, this episode. The other two are just kind of like shorts that nobody knows of.
Okay.
So that's that. Your shields rating, my love. What do you got for, how many shields you got for this episode?
Guys, okay, so shields ratings, of course, are on a scale of 1 to 5, and there could be different things that go at play. You know, for me, it's often how it moves me. And oftentimes it's, would I want to rewatch this episode? And I got to tell you, I'm giving it a 4, which still is a great grade. It's like a B or a B minus.
Yeah, but that's a low grade.
That's
for
very
you.
Low for
that
me.
That is.
I do not want to watch the Death of Bianca episode ever again. Thank you very much.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I'm at a 4. This is probably in line with the other episodes. And there's a lot of great in this episode. A lot of great. But there's also a lot of bad. And I gave it a 4-4 because I think the a lot of great is outweighed by the a lot of bad, but it's still very good. You see what I'm saying?
No, I do.
So the amount of great outweighs the amount of bad. Like, I don't know how to describe it. So, but what I'm getting at is it's a 4-4. It's in
which
line.
Which is a solid episode for you.
Yeah, in line with the rest of this season. So what do you got for your GBG? You're good, you're bad, and you're great.
So I've got to be real with you, friends. This was a very hard Oreo sandwich. You know, the Oreos which we based our beloved GBGs off of. You know, to take the little bad thing and don't let it overwhelm you. It was hard. It was hard for me. And like you said, there's so many great things about this episode. Wonderful conversations, big time moments. But my sadness definitely played a part. But if I had to choose, if I'm scraping at the crumbs of my
depressed
your Oreo. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, the off brand Oreo. Oh, it's like an off brand Oreo. That's the layer.
It's like the Cisco version of Oreo. Cisco. It has half Cisco? The stuff. Huh?
What is Cisco?
It's a food company.
Oh.
Yeah. That I don't even produces know. Mass amounts of food for restaurants and stuff. Yeah.
So this is like the dollar store Oreo, where it's called like Oreo. Okay. So my good is that Heston still finds a way to live. Still finds a way to live.
I thought he was for sure dead.
Me too. And then he's like, I know something you don't know. Like, and hands over kids. Like, talk about a cockroach move.
That
take
guy,
the kids.
I'm sick of him anyway.
I'll tell you some good stuff, and I'm just gonna go about my way and find me a chicken farm, okay? So I just love that he continues to live. I don't see his end in sight right now, because I don't know what that end would be. Like, he even hangs with Uhtred for a little while.
Yeah.
Yes, they hate each other.
And he eggs him on a little bit.
Yeah, but he still survives.
Still around. That so guy I just won't croak.
And I don't know when he will need to croak. I really like him. He just gently stirs the pot.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And then he kind of just walks away.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if, like, the writers are in the room, right, when they're developing the season, and they're just, it's a game now. Like, yeah. How long can we keep Heston alive?
Well, and
to piss everybody
off?
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, what does someone else need to know? Like, how do we get these people? Well, where's Heston now? Have Heston do it.
Yeah.
Give him a chicken and he'll spill his guts. All right, my bad, obviously, is Bianca's death. I just can't even handle this. I did not see this coming. I did not see this needing to happen. I'm very saddened.
Oh.
And we just had Alfred's death. We just lost a major actor. We just lost someone who's been a constant with us all these years. And now, it's right now, this has to happen? Come on! So, I don't know. It's just a lot of new people at once, and I've just now lost another character that I really admired, and I loved his relationship with Uhtred.
Yeah.
So, we had that deep relationship with Alfred happen just a little while ago, and now this. So, my heart's broken. And then my great is Finnan, I guess. Finnan's going to have to be my new, my new boo. So... Yay for Finnan for having those great heart-to-hearts.
Yeah.
And for letting Uhtred grieve and for bringing Uhtred back. So well done, Finnan.
Yep.
I guess you're my only source of light.
By the way, if you hear our kids in the background, they're playing. So I apologize.
It's February vacation.
Yeah, that's what happens, man.
This is
parent, hashtag parent life.
Seriously.
All right, my good is Laura Marad. I know you don't know who that is. I know none of you nerds know who that is.
And someone does.
And that's okay.
Laura
does. She's wicked happy right now. She's so happy she's hearing her name because she is the editor of The Last Kingdom.
There you go.
And I'm bringing her up because there are two fantastic, flashy scenes of editing that, you know, when you're watching it, you're not necessarily thinking of, oh wow, this is great editing, but your brain is, and your brain's telling you, holy smokes, great job. And there are two scenes that are like that, and it's funny because normally if you never hear an editor's name, that's a good thing. I don't want to hear the name. I don't want to know the name, because if I see that your editing sucks, I'm gonna know your name.
Uh-oh.
And so, but I have to call her out for a great job. The scene with Edith dressing and then walking to Ethelred in the
Edith is the red-haired girl.
Yeah, okay. In that super low-cut dress that I absolutely would have picked out, too.
Yes.
That is a
you
Blake dress.
You love the slutty dresses.
And then she, as she's putting it on, she's tying it on, and then it's being intercut with her walking to Ethelred's tent and the whole thing. Just a fantastic piece of editing, like just that feeling of dread and ugliness that she knows that's coming, and of course, as we see, it does show up and it is there, but also, of course, you have to mention Bianca in this one as well. Bianca's death is really hard, and it's really hard on Uhtred, and having all of the scenes with Bianca intercut with the sadness of Uhtred and everything, how he went, you know, from that episode where, you know, at the Battle of Ethandun, when he just gives Uhtred a kiss and just says, you've given up so much. And you just see the progression of their relationship and matched against the sadness of his death is just phenomenal. Just really great. The bad. And there are two bads for me here.
Ooh.
And the first one is kind of a nitpicky bad, but the second one is a big bad. And that the first one is this. For the first time, I felt like the score of the show kind of got in the way of the show. And it got in the way of the storytelling. My sense of it was that it was heavy in places that it probably should not have been heavy. Very loud and very in your face, like very distracting almost. And then when it needed to be heavy, it was light and soft. And you know what movie also suffers from this? And I hate to say this, but it's Rogue One.
Okay.
And it's not Michael Giacchino's fault, by the way. He was only given 6 weeks to score that film. Score and arrange and conduct and then record. Like the 6 weeks to do the whole thing. And that's it. That movie also had, if you get a chance, go back and watch Rogue One. The score of that film is similar to this episode. It's heavy in places that it doesn't need to be.
I also didn't like Rogue One.
See, I did. I actually quite liked that film.
I don't know why.
Why?
Because I didn't love anybody. Because I knew they were all going to die. Spoiler. If you don't know who these people are.
That's true. More than likely, they're going to croak.
They're going to die in that movie.
That's true. That's a good point. But the big one that is almost unforgivable, especially in an episode like this, is that it had what's called ending fatigue. It had a natural point of ending at least three or four times. Like three or four scenes, it should have ended.
Okay.
Towards the end of the episode. And it was only an episode that was 52, 53 minutes long. Mm-hmm. But this was the first episode where I felt it was 50. It was a whole 53 minutes.
Yeah, there are many times that I feel that with this show. And it's not that the show is bad, but yeah. I've told you that before where I've been like, man, that was a long episode.
Yeah, like you, for the most part,
you feel the chapters they go through.
Yes. And this was the first episode yet of The Last Kingdom where I felt like they had an ending and they had to build to the ending. And the ending was, okay, we have the Dane looking down at the camp. And it's like, okay, how do we get there? Mm-hmm. And because they want to keep you moving. They want to keep you going into the rest of the series. They want you to watch. All right, let's get to the next episode. Mm-hmm. And this is the battle that I think we're seeing, and probably one of the reasons why Stephen Bouchard left, because he sees how these things are starting to like work out. And he's like, I can't do that. Like, because you have an episode where Biaka dies, and that's a big friggin' deal.
And they leave Bebenberg. Like, he loses Bebenberg again.
And we're at a point where we're watching Danes show up at Aylesbury, because that's where Ethelfled is. Like, we have to get there so that you move to the next episode.
Yeah, you got to have the breathing and the shock factor of Uncle Scar dying.
Yes.
But you didn't really get to have the breath. And honestly, Uhtred doesn't get to have the breath. He has to keep moving. He gets to have like a little walk and be sad time. But he has to keep going. So I mean, maybe that's why they chose it. That we had to quickly mourn, just like Uhtred, that life does go on and there are other battles to fight.
Yeah, it's almost like we don't stand on ceremony in this show. Like, that's what it kind of feels like to me.
I don't know what that means.
Well, it's just like, let's not make a big deal out of all this. Let's not pretend we don't stand on ceremony. Like, let's move forward. You know, actually, I learned that phrase from Bane in The Dark Knight Rises. it's hard because the natural endpoint for me in this episode was Uhtred talking to Wee Uhtred, because it began with Wee Uhtred being saved by Biaka, and then it should end between Uhtred and Wee Uhtred finally coming together, finally have a recognition of each other and an understanding of each other because of Biaka. Like, that whole thing, that's how it should have wrapped up. But then we had two or three other ending points after that to get to the Danes overlooking Aylesbury. I was not a fan of that. But the great, on the other hand, for me, was I actually felt something for the relationship between Ethelfled and Uhtred without the show telling me that I should feel something.
Okay.
And when it happened was Ethelfled shows up and she sees Uhtred. She's like, "Where? I thought you and Bebber. What's going on?" He's not saying anything.
Yes.
And she finally stops and says, "What happened at Bebberg?" And he just breaks down and he just starts crying. And that That is what I'm looking for. That is the thing that I yes. need to get to the thing. You know, I need to understand that he can do this in front of her. She can elicit that kind of emotion from him. Mm-hmm. It's great to make fun of the fact that, you know, that he gets Aldhelm as the cabbie to, you know, take her off back to her husband. But like, if I'm going to buy the fact that Aldhelm is the cabbie, and other than the fact that I'm just laughing at it,
yeah,
I need something to earn that.
To be real.
And that was real. That was the first time that anything happened between the two where I said, okay, that adds up.
Yeah.
That makes sense to
no,
me.
No, I get that.
So that was my great. Wow, that was a long GBG. Holy smokes, Mara.
You had a lot to say.
Holy
smokes. You had a
smokes.
Lot of feelings, Blake.
I got a lot of feelings today. Big feelings, as we say
big
with our
feelings.
Kids. We have
yes.
big feelings. So, wow, that was loud. Okay. I just got a text message. That's the reason why that showed up. Okay. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Beaka dies. We called it. We kind of sussed it out last episode. We thought it was either going to be Wee Uhtred or Beaka, and it ended up being Beaka. And it was poetic in that Beaka does what he does. He protects Uhtred. And at this point, it's not grown Uhtred. It's Wee Uhtred, and he dies doing that. Really great.
Really. No, not really great. Really sad.
It's hard because, Mary, you're right. We got a lot of new characters, and we got to make room for them.
Mm-hmm.
After Alfred dying, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Now we got Beaka dying. Do you feel the transition almost? Do you feel like that palpable move towards another... a whole new arc of things for the show.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'm ready for it. He was who I loved.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I get it, you know, it's just, you feel so uneasy for Uhtred. It's not like Beaka died, but Uhtred got Bebbanburg out of it, mm-hmm. you know?
He didn't even get Bebbanburg.
No.
He went with his tail between his legs.
Yeah. So I just feel sad for them.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard because, like, he has been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, the one good thing that you could say that came out of all of it is that Beaka dies and is at home. Like, he dies in Bebbanburg, where
he's
from.
I don't think that's good. Who knows if he even gets buried?
That's true. That's a good point.
I don't think... dying can be a good thing.
And then Uhtred just goes into Terminator mode and just starts smoking everybody. Yes. And then there, you know, obviously the race to the boat. Once again, well shot, well paced, well lit. It was a full understanding of where everybody was, how mm-hmm. everybody got there. Nothing happened out of the blue for the sake of it happening. I thought it was a really good sequence of trying to escape Bebbanburg.
Yeah.
And we all felt like, dude, how are they going to do this? How are they going to get out? And it just provides just enough of a kick where you could kind of believe that they could maneuver their way out of there.
Yes, yes. And then even they're getting washed up upon shore. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't wash up upon shore with all the guys they left with.
Yeah.
First off, all the people they went there with Bebbanburg didn't get on a ship. And then even the people that did get on the ship, those aren't all the people that washed ashore.
Right.
So you do feel the loss and you do feel the frantic energy.
Yep, yep. And then, you know, someone had mentioned this in one of our earlier episodes, and it's very true, and I want to bring it up, which is when Beaka shows up at the boat to tell Uhtred, hey, listen, I'm going to come with you. I'm going to go to Bebbanburg with you. And we're gonna do this all together. As they're walking to the boat, Beaka says, "Hey, listen, you know, I'm not much of a fighter, and whatever." And Uhtred says to him, "Yeah, well, it's okay for you because I'm pretty desperate. I'll take you on."
Yeah.
And Ian Hart, I don't know if it was scripted or if it was like planned, but the laugh that came from him was just such a natural mm-hmm. and like legitimately like from the belly guffaw that it almost felt like Uhtred, what Alexander Draymond said was not scripted. It almost felt like that. And I'm bringing it out because I'm bringing this up now because at that moment, we should have known. Should have known that Bayaka was going to die. That it was just too good. It was too nice. Too many people are around. Too many things happening. We should have known right then and there. And I, without Ian Hart and now obviously David Dawson as King Alfred, I get the sense that are we going to run out of people that we like? Are we going to run out of people that
for me?
Yeah. I mean,
Finnan better live forever.
But hey, Finnan, I will give Finnan this. As much as Bayaka is great,
yes,
Finnan is clearly stepping into that role.
Yes.
And like you always wondered who was going to be able to tell Uhtred, hey, okay, stop being a dink. Like, don't be a clown. Mm-hmm. Finnan's that guy.
He is.
The clear MVP of this episode. Not only talking to Uhtred, but talking to wee Uhtred and getting them, you know, like rallying the troops, man. Yeah. Making sure that he, like, it's just starts taking his rings off and his, go sell this, get some money. We're going to get some horses. Uhtred's depressed as all high hell. Like, tell me. Can't tell me that this doesn't advance your love of Finnan.
100%. I mean, he pretty much made a shopping list. Like, Uhtred loves hot cocoa and Snuggies, so if you find those along the way, pick it up for him. You know, maybe, I don't know, raisinettes. I've loved Finnan, and now that Bianca's gone, yeah, my heart has to move to somebody else. And like you said, he's really kind of filling in that role of being the person whose shoulder you can cry on.
Yeah. And it's funny. There's a lot of touching moments in this episode and in understanding of this episode of the past. It's a recognition of things that have come before. Uhtred talking about Gisela to wee Uhtred. Mm-hmm. Finnan talking about how he met Uhtred as a slave. Bayaka dying, and we're seeing the flashbacks of their relationship. You know, there's a lot here that's recognizing the past, and it's almost to me like the show is clearing the deck so that we can move forward. Like, there are too many things weighing it down in order for us to move forward. Do you get that feel?
No. I don't think that's a good excuse to kill Bianca. But I don't know. I mean, I get that they have to do it, and I get that they're adding more people, so you got to kill some others, but I don't know. I'm just sad. Just going to mourn.
You know.
And yes, we have Father Pureleg, but like, he's just not the
same. I like him.
I do too.
Not the same.
I do too.
That's like, Father Pureleg is like your best friend from college. He's not your dad. You know what I mean? Like, he's not that paternal figure. But if you got put in jail for a night, you got put into the drunk tank because maybe you had a couple too many, you call him Father Pureleg.
I was the RA putting the people in the drunk tank.
Like, Pureleg's like, he's like, okay, fine. He already has the jail number put in his phone. And like, when he sees it ringing, he's like, oh my God. Oh, Blake's calling again from jail. Okay, I'll go get it. Like, that's Father Pureleg.
See, I see Father Bianca like a delicious, amazing, like your favorite home-cooked meal that you'll just never get sick of. And Father Bianca as like your favorite fast food. Like, yeah, oh, I can get enough. It. I don't want it every day. It makes me sick if I'm with it like too much.
Like Taco Bell? Like,
yes.
Father Pureleg is Taco Bell.
Yes.
Like, you know that when you eat Taco Bell at that moment, it is a great idea.
You're like, this is delicious.
Like, how is this not more popular? Like, how is this not more of a thing?
Yes.
Why aren't people going to Taco Bell more on a daily basis to get sustenance? And then, like, 2 hours later, you're like, oh, yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. It's funny because you always forget about that feeling that you get 2 hours later.
Whereas my chicken pot pie, you could eat that every day.
It does not make you feel bad.
No.
Nope.
My world famous chicken pot pie.
By the way, Mary's chicken pot pie is the best chicken pot pie. I think in existence.
I know.
It's taken a long time to get there. A lot of testing, a lot of things that we're working on, but it's really good now. Mm-hmm. It's excellent. And the funny thing is that young Uhtred, wee Uhtred, understands finally now his father, Uhtred. It's a big swing of emotion, but I think the emotional math adds up for that swing of emotion and swing of acceptance. Primarily because Bjarke dies, it's this big thing. He dies saving Wee Uhtred. Finan talks to Wee Uhtred the way that he does. And Wee Uhtred gets an understanding that his father does what he does to protect the people that he loves. And that is informed by what his mother said to him when Uhtred went off to battle.
What I also love, though, is Finan is a Christian, and Finan's always wearing his cross.
Yes.
So, you know, Father Bjarke was able to talk a little bit to Wee Uhtred, you know, Christian to Christian. And Finan's now able to bridge that gap.
Yes, between the two. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Finan does, again, he steps into that role, and that will play, I think, the role that Bjarke would have.
Yes.
And because there is Finan, there's kind of no more, and there's no Tura, there's kind of no more room for Bjarke. And as we were talking,
there's always room for Bjarke.
As we were talking about last episode, I could start to see the shape of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And now I really see the shape of what they're doing. They have to make all of this personal for Uhtred. Because there's no reason, as he said, for him to get involved with any of this stuff whatsoever for the Danes and Wessex. And there's no reason for any of this. And there's no reason for him to continue on to Bebbanburg without some kind of personal stake. And that is Bjarke dying and then Ethelfled now being in trouble because she's not listened to her brother. Mm-hmm. And then Uhtred finds out that it was Cnut who has, Weasley. You know, Cnut Weasley is out there trying to get Ragnar killed. But he never would have been in that position.
Correct.
If he wasn't back from Bebbanburg to go rescue Ethelfled. You know, like, none of that would have. Can you argue that it's a little coincidental that Uhtred and Heston just happened to be
Heston's
on the same road?
Heston's the writer's easy button right
yes,
now.
He yes, he is the easy button. Is it fair to say that? Absolutely.
But there's also people in our lives
that just,
who are like that. They
that
just keep showing
keep
up.
Showing up, man.
And just keep getting involved.
I can
involved.
Think of one guy I know that just keeps showing up for you. You know who I'm talking about, too.
I do.
Yeah. And... Yeah.
Yeah.
That just keeps popping his head up everywhere. It just drives me bananas.
Yep.
So yes, I feel like that. I feel the truth. I feel the truth of that. So I can the shape is there. It will be interesting to see now what happens with.
Okay, let's move on from Uhtred.
Yeah.
So we've got this conflict going on with Ethelred just doing what Ethelred's doing. Mm-hmm. And then Ethelred's best friend, the Aslicker, Arslicker.
Yeah.
Arslicker's whose sister is the redhead.
Yep.
You know, he gets the bad news. You trusted the cockroach Heston.
Yep.
He led you wrong. And you then told King Ethelred what to do based upon that bad news. Mm-hmm. And then comes this, so like that poor little, you know, You pull the short straw if you're asked to be the messenger for any of these people, because the guy keeps saying like, no, just tell me, and ends up killing him.
Yeah.
And the redhead sister sees all this. So he knows he's got to do the bad news. The redhead sister says, fine,
yeah,
I'll get into the slutty dress and like do the deeds.
Make it easier
for
you. Then you
can tell
him.
Yeah. It's fine. But then we've also got Aelswith and Ethelfled. So the king's mom.
Mm-hmm.
And his sister, who are realizing that they need to go save Mercia. And I love this thing with Aelswith, who over the past several episodes has been realizing the wrongs of her ways.
Yeah.
And she sends Aethelflaed saying, your brother won't abandon you. You're totally going to be fine. Then she sends Father Pureleg.
Yep.
Okay, you
the
need to
friend.
Go.
Yeah, best friend.
You know, I could really go for some Taco Bell right now. Where's Bianca? Oh, he's gone. All right, Taco Bell will do. And says, you know, I'm Mercy, and you got to help us out. Why don't you go and like ask for help from
Wales?
From Wales.
Yeah.
You know, aren't you from there? Like, you know, let's just make this happen.
Yeah.
So they're concocting these little schemes and things are really lining up. So lots of battle is obviously going to be happening again.
Yes, this is all coming to a head pretty soon.
But who's going to show up? Who actually has something in it? We're just going to have to find out. There's a lot of people who are very confused. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and you know, and the way that all of this is kind of tracked is... Hold on. Sorry, everybody. Hold on.
It sounds like a battle in my house right
quiet.
Now.
Thank you. Sorry, everybody. The way that this is tracked, it's okay. So we have the Danes and the Mercians leave their own kingdoms or their areas of life to go invade their areas of life. Like the Danes go to Aylesbury and the Mercians go to take out East Anglia, like it's a whole thing.
They're all going to each other's homes.
And then Cnut is like, okay, so what we're going to do is we're just going to stay here. We're going to stay here in Aylesbury, and then we're just going to wait. We're going to wait for Edward to show up because we have the high ground here, and we're going to do whatever we need to do.
And Brita's sitting there rubbing her belly. She can't wait to tell him the good news. She's got like the pregnancy announcement all planned, the little cute baby Viking outfit with the mini axe.
And Cnut expects Edward to just go help Aethelred because that's his brother-in-law. And on the other hand, we have Edward thinking, well, wait, Aethelred kind of sucks. So
he didn't let me pet his bird.
Yeah. So why don't I just do nothing and I'll just wait for Cnut to kill Aethelred?
I've had a lot of fun building my walls.
So I've been designing all these things for a reason. We're going to stay here. And Here's the ugly truth of all of this.
And you know Aethelred smells like formaldehyde after collecting all those body parts.
The ugly truth of all of this is Edward is not wrong.
Says the Slytherin.
No, but I guess what I'm getting at is he has to think of his kingdom, like, and he's putting he has put.
Is this like NATO right now?
Oh, geez.
Ooh, I went there.
Oh,
I freaking went there.
Don't do that.
I'm not.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Just saying.
Don't do that.
Not doing it, but
oh,
I said it.
Oh, man.
I'm not making any political things. I'm just saying. You know, I'm really glad I'm not a world leader. There's got to be some
there
big,
would have been
difficult...
hell to pay if you were the world leader.
No, actually, if the world leaders right now were women, we'd have a completely different situation going on.
Probably.
I'm just saying, think about it. All these peeps in all these countries, if there was a woman at the head right now, things would be really different.
So ultimately, Edward is like, as a character, you have to understand that what Edward has to do is take care of his kingdom. And he's being put in a situation when he finds out about his sister eventually, that he's being put in the same situation that Edward was put in when Aethelflaed was captured and taken for ransom. And is Edward going to be pushed to make a decision that is personal, or is that decision going to be one that is representative of a king? And so far, he is taking the decision-making process into the King Avenue, and it's not a wrong decision-making process. Everybody is forcing this guy's hand, and you can see that. He's like, I'm the king. Why don't you just listen to me? Because I'm the one issuing the orders here. I'm the one that's responsible for everything that's happening.
The kids heard me say a bad word. That's why they came over.
If you're watching, you saw it. If you were listening, you did not. You didn't hear it. But... I have to give it to Timothy Innes, the kid who plays Edward. He's actually doing a good job.
I feel so awkward for all world leaders. All world leaders. I'm telling you, I would just want to be Finnan. If I was in this.
Just show up.
Just show up. I don't actually want to make any plans.
Yep.
This is really hard.
Tell me where to go.
I mean, I don't even know if I want to be Finnan. He lives a rough life too.
Yeah. So I this was a good episode.
Edward's got all those people just yelling at him. Do this, do that, do this, do that.
The problem is he's just listening to Phil, and you can't listen to Phil. Anybody can see that you can't listen to Phil. Shouldn't listen to Phil.
Now his sister's going to go be in trouble. Are Edward and Ethel fled close?
No. No way. If anything, this is going to make it a lot worse. This is going to be a problem. This is going to be a big problem. I wonder how this is going to turn out.
Oh, man.
So, all right. You got anything else for this episode, my love?
No. And if anyone took offense to my comment, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just saying world leaders have a hard time making these choices.
I would say that it's fair to say that we support Ukraine. Okay? So, is that fair? Okay. Fair.
Yes, yes.
Okay, good. There you go. Just so everybody understands.
My God, yes.
Okay, good. It's just like, that's the one thing I think we should make clear out of all of that conversation.
Oh my God,
NATO.
Yes, sorry.
Like, anybody can interpret what you said as like either good or bad.
Oh, sorry. No.
So, yeah, I think what Mary was saying is like, okay, NATO, I didn't even want to get into it. I don't even want to get it. You're going to make me get into it. I don't even want to do it. I can't do it. I don't want to do it.
Everyone knows. They all know. Okay?
I know.
They all know. And we support Ukraine. Just don't fight. Okay? Make some chicken pot pies, everybody, and chill out.
Where is Bianca when you need him?
Where is Bianca? Where is the Olympics? Bring the Olympics back. Nobody can fight during the Olympics.
How about, one last thing. Uhtred says to Whitgar, hey, come down here and fight me, and we'll decide who has Bebbanburg. And as soon as Uhtred said that, I was like, oh, man, that's a desperate move. That's a real there's no reason why Whitgar has any reason to fight for Bebbanburg at all. Like, he already has it, and he's going to go down there and risk it because you just called him out. Like, you called him a chicken. This isn't Back to the Future. This is, like, you know, life. And no, we don't need that. So, all right. Do you have a Destined to Be theory of the week?
No, not really.
Okay. Do I? You know, I don't. I'm honestly interested to see what happens. So we'll go from there. All right, let's close this out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time to watch us and listen to us and be a part of The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. We are going to be, as we've said, moving through this season pretty much as quickly as we can. We are going to fire through it, and hopefully we get it done before season 5 premieres.
Hopefully I feel better by then.
I know, me too. I hope you do feel that better by then. We need it as
a family.
At least
the kids will be back in school.
Yeah, I know. That's a good point.
That's a good thing.
So, yeah, that's what we got going on over here. Check out maryandblake.com for all the podcasts we have going, which we will have a lot in the month of March happening. We're very excited, but also very nervous. So I was actually thinking that we might do The Last Kingdom Season 5 on a weekly basis. Like,
it won't be like you binge the entire season in a weekend and we have binge recorded an entire season.
I don't think we can do that.
Just be prepared.
We did that for The Crown when it came out, like season 5 or season 4 when it came out?
No idea.
Yeah, we did.
I said no idea.
Oh, okay, yeah. We binged it and we podcast binged it.
We'll do what we can.
I'm thinking that it's going to be a weekly podcast. For each episode, like one episode per week.
We'll do what we can.
Yeah. It's just, we get a lot happening. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you. My name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
Destiny is all.